Welcome to another Carlo and Lage Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin. Rob, I'm going to be honest up front. This could be completely rambling and incoherent, but I wanted to start by just putting a concept out there. I have this idea that, like, there's so much emphasis now on professional elite sport.
Yes.
That's having a big impact on the amateur, the
grassroots
level, the grassroots.
Yeah.
But first of all, I don't want to piss anyone off or upset anyone, but I just want to say to all those people involved in amateur clubs and district clubs, grassroots stuff, on committees and coaching, hats off to you guys. You do a great job and keep doing it.
And volunteers.
All the volunteers, because that's I think part of it. It's getting harder and harder to get people to volunteer for stuff. But I think also the expectation on grassroots clubs and what they can provide and what they should be able to provide is being affected because of such this big emphasis and drive about professional elite sport.
Well, it's creating, like, time issues, isn't it? It's harder. You've got to get accreditation. You've got to go to more meetings. There's training that you have to do. There's a whole lot of aspects that have come into volunteering in this age, in the last 10, 20 years, compared to when we were younger playing sport.
Well, let's take coaching, and I understand and I fully support, obviously, child protection. I'm being involved in education and being involved in sport.
Absolutely.
That's an issue. So we know that coaches now, there's a whole range of things we have to do to get our police checks and so on. But we're finding, like, even our scorers, our people who do stats, everyone now has to have accreditation. So
yes.
You can't just get, like, mums and dads rock up and we know they've got a score. They've got to do a whole range of little jobs to keep sport ticking over. But that next level up now to a senior level, you know, we're getting mandated. If you don't, you must have at least a level 2 person on the bench. You must have this person accredited for stats. You must do this. You must video all games. You must upload them to this website. And you're thinking, man, it's getting harder and harder to run basic sport, like, you know, good level club sport.
I agree with you. And to my way of thinking, there are 3 developments that have affected this over the last 10 or 20 years. One of them is these elite pathways that have developed in most sports. Another one is the betting. I mean, there's a lot of betting that's infiltrating sport nowadays, where I suppose we're going to have to get training about how to deal with that. And
has your baseball club got a betting policy?
No.
I was shocked to find out this year, we had a meeting for, like, Premier League basketball, which, if I look at that, you know, got the NBL, there's some leagues around Australia that would be high, and then you get to, like, Premier League. So it's like our, you know, state district competition. But, you know, all of a sudden, people are betting on these games. And they're not just betting on the outcome, they're betting on all sorts, like who gets the first point, who does this, all these stats. And you go, oh my God, it's getting to that point where, how do we control that?
Well, did you know, when I go to the Adelaide Bite games in the Australian Baseball League down at West Beach, there's a gentleman there that I sit near, and we're always having a bit of a chat because I'm wondering what he's doing. He's calling all the plays in this microphone, and he's calling, you know, when people get on base and when people get hits, et cetera, et cetera. And I asked him, is he working for a radio station or whatever? He says, no, I do this for a betting company. And people actually bet on outcomes of situations. He does it for soccer as well.
And we know, like, again, at the elite professional level, that there's been issues with people tampering with games. Do you think it might even be easier to do it like a club district level, you know, association type level, because there's less policing? I mean, am I, as a person on a committee of a basketball club, going to have to police someone? You know, like, let's say I put money to whoever's going to score the first basket. If a player passes that person, they score. Have they rorted the system?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and you mentioned the elite pathways. I just, like, to me, that's having such an impact on local clubs, because junior players now, all sports are doing it. They're taking a big number of kids and pushing them into these pathways. And yes. I think part of it is great. You know, we want to develop players. We've got to look after the top level. But not all players are going to be elite. And I question the idea of using that term. Is there such thing as an elite junior? Is an elite the very top? So
yes.
If you make it to the very top, you're elite. But are you elite as a 14-year-old?
No, you're on an elite pathway.
You're a good player, and you're on a pathway, but you're not. And so I think the terminology we're using and all the emphasis we're putting there has an impact then on expectations of those players and maybe parental expectations and so on. And I wonder how that has an impact then on how people view the grassroots clubs? Are they good enough for us? Have they got the right level of coaching? Are they providing the right opportunities? Maybe I'll go to this club here because they have more kids in that pathway, and so maybe they're doing a better job. And I think the effect then on the concept of loyalty, like doing something for, you know, being involved in a club because you want to be part of that group and that culture and community rather than doing it because it's going to be the best for my long-term outcome.
Well, of course, there's a lot of average sports people that get into these elite pathways where they play, for argument's sake, football in development squads and under 13 level, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose a lot of these players come out of those systems without making it at a higher level, and they put a value on themselves when they shop themselves around to clubs. So there's another issue which sort of erodes the loyalty factor in a lot of the grassroots sports teams.
Yeah, and I think I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritties about cost, but obviously, again, looking at basketball, the cost of putting a senior team on the court is getting bigger and bigger. And I imagine in sports like football, it's even greater. And all of a sudden, clubs have to are spending fairly big sums on coaches and players so they can be competitive. And I really wonder what the long-term effect that has on that club in terms of maintaining its status and be able to provide all the resources to everybody in the club.
Well, looking at some of the sports, I mean, obviously football is very popular. So as a consequence, some of the local football teams, they have opportunities for sponsorship greater than what basketball, baseball, et cetera, would have, which is helpful for those clubs, but they still have budgets they've got to meet. And I suppose to a certain degree, because they're such a popular sport, their costings for the elite pathways aren't as high as sort of basketball and baseball. And I know just from our local baseballs, the kids are starting at the under 12 type level, under 13 level, and it's all driven by an American model. And I suppose basketball may as well. And of course, in America, they don't have the social aspect of sport as much as we do here in Australia. And as a consequence of that, I see football and cricket, two real Aussie iconic sports, they don't seem to have the same problems as some of the other sports that seem to be following the American path.
Well, it's almost that point where you go, okay, well, for lots of clubs to be competitive, I know in basketball now, at Premier League level, they changed the rules a few years ago to allow clubs, each team, to have two imported players. They went from one to two. Now, of course, clubs with money can do that straight away.
Yep.
But if you then want to be competitive and you don't have, you've got to go and get those players. And so that costs you money. And so all of a sudden you go, well, I think the day's gone when all of a sudden, you know, like you looked at it, I could go from a club and go, here's my local club, and I can start playing whatever sport that is when I'm whatever age, and I can go all the way through and I can be playing for my senior team in a club that I've been part of for most of my life, and my family probably have too. Are those days gone? Because all of a sudden you go, well, if we don't bring these players and these players and pay for that player and do this and do that, then, or bring that coach in, we're not going to be able to compete. And so we can't then continue as a club. I fear that though that level of sport, which is so good for so many people, is being affected.
Look, I don't disagree. And when you bring in elite programs, the opportunities for your grassroots players to go to other clubs is increased because they're obviously influenced by teams that are more successful through the coaching and the players. They encourage the players from a team like Gawler to go to these other clubs because the aspect of better coaching is how they put it. But there's no protection. So the more elite pathways you have, the more chance to lose your players at the grassroots level.
And in the end, it's, you know, if we're diluting that level there, which is, you know, like your local clubs, you think about us in the Gawler-Barossa area and all sorts of sports. If you took away the opportunity for those people to be involved in sport, it's going to have an impact down the track.
Yep.
And I just wonder now if kids are getting the message, hey, if you don't make it at the elite level, you may as well stop playing sport. And I think we should be promoting the fact that being part of your local club, playing sport for your local club and continuing to enjoy that is a good thing. Like, you know, if you don't make it to SAFL, it doesn't matter. Like, you can still have a great sporting career and be part of a great community by playing for your local club and being involved.
Now, you go out to any of the metro clubs or the country clubs for football. out here in the Bossa, the Nuyuptas, Tanundas, Angustans, Kapundas, all these types of clubs, plus the Gawler clubs. And even in the metropolitan area, your Salisbury's, et cetera, et cetera, there's those hardcore supporters and volunteers that have been there all their life there. They followed in their parents' footsteps, et cetera, et cetera. You're always going to have a percentage of those people. But the percentage of people like that have diminished with a lot of this elite pathway system. So now the strength of those people to keep the clubs buoyant has deteriorated because of the elite pathways, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the expectation on those people, who like people like you and me and other people who are just there to do the best they can and help out, all of a sudden you get overwhelmed with all the expectations on what you have to provide. And that's what I mean. Like, fair enough, at elite level, you're going to have all these coaches, you're going to have all these opportunities, you're going to have all these resources, you're going to have medical support, you're going to have all that sort of stuff. But then I think that's starting to sort of dribble down into the not even the next level, but the levels under that, where all of a sudden clubs are expected to provide all of these resources and requirements, and they just simply don't have the, as you say, the volunteer numbers or the expertise. And if you don't have it, what do? You either have to pay for it or you can't supply it. And then, of course, people judge clubs accordingly.
I think this is a discussion we can have further down the track, whereas perhaps we'll get some a guest speaker to come on board to give their opinions at the elite level and the club level.
It's interesting. As I said at the beginning, it'd probably be rambling and incoherent, which I think it probably has been, but it's just something that's been bugging me for a while. And I see, and I read these, I read this article just last week about, is there such thing as an elite junior? I thought, that makes some sense, you know, like, where are the days gone where kids could just go out and enjoy their sport and develop and be part of a community? And I just see that that's sort of being eroded. And I understand it, but I think that it's the pendulum swung too far. I'd like to see it come back a little bit and people take a bit of a chill pill and just focus on what we're trying to do at that level.
I do not disagree with those sentiments. This is a Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.